You're listening to Season 5 of Views from the Bridge, your second favorite podcast about the Philadelphia Union. Views from the Bridge is part of the Beautiful Game Network. For soccer writing, content, and other information, check out bgn.fm. Now let's get right to it.
Do we want to be a good team, or do we want to be f***ing great?
Hiya, welcome to Views from the Bridge. Good to see you, good to be seen. It's your second favorite Philadelphia Union podcast. Evan Vallow, most of the time, your host, back again. It's week two, whatever week you want it to be, in the 2024 season. We'll get down to it, joined by two out of the three usual suspects. First, he's usually here before everybody else. This week he was late, but I think he's playing with a lot of house money as far as attendance goes. It's Justin Ashcraft.
Yeah, well, considering the podcast wouldn't get put up if I didn't do the work, I don't know. I think it's I am playing with house money.
It's true. Yeah, literally no one would know if you didn't do anything with this. So I guess I'm wrong again or what have you. Also here, if he wasn't doing enough this week, Chuck, the three of us just spent, I think, a minute and a half talking about Joaquin Torres before we hit record, and that's a minute and a half more than we wanted to spend talking about Joaquin Torres. Anyway, it's Chuck Booth.
At least, hey, it's a pleasant conversation about him for a change, because it's talking about him departing the team for now.
Yeah, I mean, you got your wish last week. You're like, I'm good, and apparently so is the front office. So he leaves for Chile. On a loan with an option to buy. Maybe he'll get lost at the airport on the way back. I don't know.
He'll just, like, yeah, maybe he just need a new start to oblivion in the mountains.
Well, we previewed Saprissa last week. Went down there. We played them. First half, not great. Well, no. I mean, a great finish by Jakub Gleznas, to use the cliche, of course. Wonder strike by Jakub Gleznas, as we're accustomed to. This time he finished on Andre Blake, though. Early own goal, and then Julian Carranza, if his stock couldn't get any higher, there you go.
Who had Gleznas scoring the first goal for the Union two seasons running on the wrong net?
It's a tradition.
Yeah, I mean, like, literally, it feels like now he just has to keep it going to just become, like, the weirdest lore in Union history, which is, like, very hard to do, but he has a chance if he's able to do this 3 years running.
Yeah, they should just let him do it next year.
Does he still have to score from, like, 30 yards, or does he get a tap-in? Like, what's the... The parameter, I think, is that he has to score like a worldie.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, they all need to be worldies. Like, we do have standards here.
He's gotta like try to head back to Andre Blake from outside the box, and it just like fly over Blake's head into the net or something like that.
He wins the hardest header in MLS Challenge, but it's over his own keeper.
Yeah, exactly. He's no, like, I was just trying to head back to you.
That was a pass. It's fine.
It was. It was supposed to be a pass. So here's the thing about that goal. Like, I was not watching the game when it happened. I had not turned it on yet. Unfortunately, on Tuesday morning, I woke up with like food poisoning of some sort. So I was trying to fight my way through it. But then by about 10:30, I couldn't go back to sleep because I had slept all day. And I thought, well, you know what? I'll turn the Union game on. Well, unfortunately, whichever channel I was watching it on did not even play a halftime show of any recap of what happened in the first half. I just heard Gleznas scored an own goal. And so I hadn't seen the goal until Wednesday morning when I finally went, oh, I should look up to see how Gleznas scored the own goal, which was a shock to me when I found out it was from 45 yards out. And let me tell you, I'm not sure what Andre Blake was attempting or not attempting to do with that ball, because I felt like he could have just backed up into his own goal mouth and pretty easily just handled it on the second bounce and figured it out. But for some reason, he tried to jump at it in the middle of the box and gave himself no chance at it. So I'm not sure exactly what he was thinking. I'm not sure what Glesnes was thinking either. He could have just played it out, but he decided to, for some reason, play it back to his own keeper. So, I mean, weird play on both ends.
Yeah, that own goal, honestly, sums up the first half pretty well. Because
yeah, for sure.
The Union just weren't there. Like, I don't know what that team was that we watched in the first half from top to bottom. They could barely complete a pass. And then the second half was completely different.
Yes. Yeah, they played the way they should have in the second half. They actually passed the ball to each other. They played off of each other. They made good runs. They did what they needed to do, and it turned into three goals for Julian Carranza.
All goals pretty good. Was it the third one where it almost felt like it could have been a hockey goal, where it was very like one touch, and then net sort of? That was good. That was really good. Like, the Union have scored some pretty impressive team goals over the years. That's got to be up there, I think.
Yeah, I just, that third, I think it was the third goal that, you know, it's kind of a dump and chase for Quinn Sullivan, but he beat the guy to it. And then he kind of cut it back across the box to, I think it was Gazdag, and then Gazdag one touched it to Carranza. I mean, yeah, it was, all of them were super pretty. I mean, even, let's call on shades of 2020 or 2021 for Kai Wagner with the assist on the first goal. I mean, that was, couldn't have put a prettier ball in the box for Carranza to head back across the net. That was exactly how you call a, you know, head it back where it came from, and that's exactly what he did, and there was nobody on that side of the net. So, all, yes, all pretty goals.
And then also one thing that was great in the departure of Joaquin Torres is we saw Raffanella.
We did.
Like, I mean, actually, like, realistically, with like both Raffanella and Mark Sanderson getting into the game, it's just a great time all around.
Yeah,
it was great.
The sort of, you know, garbage time second goal for Saprissa is not wonderful. But, like, I don't know.
All you want to do is come home from Costa Rica with a lead or things level.
Yeah. And then, because I don't think, like, we're all in agreement here. Like, you don't really care about Chicago just because it's the first game of the season, and we've talked to death about how the first 3 months don't really matter.
So it's weird though, because, like, yes and no. Like, I mean, there's definitely going to be rotation against Chicago this weekend, but like games against Chicago are so stupid and someone usually gets suspended that, like, you do kind of have to care about Chicago, especially just since this is a, I hate that I'm saying this because I feel like I've said this just far too many times about this goddamn team, but it's a Chicago team that could actually be good if, like, they're allowed to find their feet. Like, they've had on paper just like one of the best off seasons of any team in MLS. There just comes with a massive disclaimer of, but it's Chicago.
Yeah, I mean, my thing is, like, I think you, and I, there was one other thing I wanted to talk about the Saprissa game, so I don't want to move on too fast, but my fear comes from last year. Like, we saw this team give up a lot of early goals last year, and, like, not be able to find their feet 20 minutes into a game. And it, like, seems like that problem hasn't been fixed for this year. Like, I was hoping to see, like, a pretty Okay, cool. Come out in Costa Rica. Yes, you're in Costa Rica. Yes, it's going to be hard. Yes, it's a CONCACAF game with CONCACAF refs. Yes, there's probably going to be yellow cards. Yes, there's probably going to be some crazy calls in this game that shouldn't have gotten called or should get called that don't get called. All of that's true. But it took them 55 minutes into the game to find a footing in this game. And so I'm a little bit concerned. I would love to see us improve that against Chicago, that we don't wait for 55 minutes into the game to, like, figure out how to play against the team. So that's my one concern. It's just, do I care about the Chicago game individually? Do we need to, is it a must win? No. But I would like to see the Union come out with, like, a solid performance to start the season, to stay up on a, you know, whatever. So I will hope. I'll hope for better things.
It's also like the Union, because nothing changed from last year to this year, should have an advantage over other teams that they're facing, just because of the fact that everyone knows what they're supposed to be doing. And like, that makes points early more important to the Union than it does to your average MLS team that's supposed to be figuring things out, especially just when we saw what 6 points means in hosting everything versus traveling somewhere.
I was just gonna say, to come back to what you said, do you care about Chicago? Do you need points? No. But you want a solid performance, and then you did what you needed to do. Like you said, you did what you needed to do this week in Costa Rica. You came back with a lead. Now you just have to sustain that. And it's like, it's kind of the same thing that happened against Saprissa a couple years ago, that like, you win the first like 1-0, and it feels a little bit like, couldn't you have done a little bit better than that? Or like whatever. But then you come home and you beat them 3-0 at home, or 4-0, or whatever that was. So like, I think, you know, I would hope the Union would be able to do the same thing, but like, kind of no matter who's on the field Saturday and Tuesday, you would hope they'd be able to put a more solid performance together against Saprissa on Tuesday.
For sure, because, I mean, this, like, we've seen some strong Saprissa teams in the past. This isn't one of them, just to put it frankly. And like, I don't want to underestimate Saprissa just because, like, it's not MLS or Mexico, because, like, again, we've seen really good teams come out of there. This team is very disjointed right now, and the Union should be able to put more goals past them at home. And like, realistically, as soon as the Union put one in and Saprissa has to chase the game even more, the Union could very easily put four in.
Yes.
Yeah. To Justin's point, it's funny. Like, it's a knife edge where a lot of the times, if you're the away team and the game's 0-0 after 45 minutes, you're like, all right, cool, let's just win a half. But for the Union, especially against teams like Chicago, Montreal, Cincinnati, Columbus is another one that comes to mind. Pretty much anyone kind of in like this half of the Eastern Conference, you don't get 55 minutes to find your feet. And it doesn't really matter if in between 55 minutes and 72 minutes, you score 3 goals. Like, you're not going to have the luxury of being able to come out really flat like that, especially against Chicago, and not get into this really, like, gross kick it forward and see what happens kind of game. So, like, yeah, like, all right, I'm being a little dismissive. Sorry, Chicago Fire fans. That's what they're still called, right? Yeah. But, like, I just want us to, like, not give up a goal for, like, a half. And just to see how that feels, and then go from there. Well,
like, so, if Hugo, I think, is it just Cooper's?
What are you doing?
Their new striker in Chicago, after they shipped Kasper Schebelko out to Lugano in Switzerland?
Oh, yeah, that's right. But yes,
the guy from Gent, not Jank, Gent, who's scored a lot of goals, a whole lot of goals. In fact, in just 214 appearances in his entire career. He has scored 99 goals and assisted 36. So if the Unit are able to shut out the Fire, assuming that the Fire play their first team, it bodes very well.
Yes.
Yeah, we're just to keep him out of the coins column would be nice.
Before we get too heavy on Chicago, I did just want to say, I appreciated whoever styled Jim Curtin for this game against Saprissa. That for all of his casual wear that is like all cool and whatnot, him coming out as the man in black with a black suit and black shirt underneath and all of that was pretty slick, actually.
I mean, he's really just working on elevating that CV for a Euro job.
He's in his, it's his Diego Simeone era. Very black on black, and he's a little fiery, and he didn't quite have the hair slick back, but it was, yeah, it was, I agree. I saw it, and I was like, Jim's in
a suit. And specifically, it was Commonwealth proper that went through the outfitting process of getting Jim in a black suit. Reminiscent of the Mauricio Pochettino and Diego Simeone def suits.
There you go. There you go. Well, I appreciate it.
Are we going to take prop bets on whether or not, like, what does he wear? Does the fit change drastically? Because we have new Union-related streetwear. Like, there's a new line that came out.
You can at this point, don't you kind of have to keep this up in some fashion until the Union lose a game?
Does he break the suit out for, like, the Champions League and the League's Cup and, like, the playoffs? And then you have, like cool stepdad ice cream pizza Jim Curtin during MLS.
It would honestly be so funny if like he breaks it out based on the tier of team. So for Chicago, he just shows up in a hoodie, but then back to the suit for Saprissa. And then I don't know the schedule after that, but basically
there's like a Minnesota in there in some point at so 2 p.m.
Back to a sweatshirt for that. But
yeah,
then,
like does he just sit in the stands? Yeah,
basic Atlanta thing? Rolls up in a suit.
I want you to go another step farther, and I want Jim to sit in different areas of the stadium depending on the quality of the opponent.
What's funny is that like Jim Curtin is the level of petty to do this.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Mike Petke, because I know he's an avid listener to this, is fuming he didn't think of this. Like, Mike Petke and Jesse Marsh are kicking themselves right now for not thinking about doing this at Leeds or Real Salt Lake, respectively.
Yeah. Why didn't you pull out the hoodie on the bad teams?
I literally now want to see Jim Curtin in a hoodie this weekend.
Does he go, and I know, I don't want to talk about this, but if there was a world where they played like South Georgia Tormenta, does he just walk in with like a tank top or like what is the?
Well, there won't be one.
Does
because,
he?
But I just mean there is no world of playing South Georgia Tormenta anymore because even if Open Cup does happen,
oh that's true because the regional
the plan. The plan is that the plan is that any team that qualified for CONCACAF Champions Cup, so the Union would not be involved in Open Cup.
Oh, sure. Okay. Well, then, damn it. All right. Well, that sucks. All right. So I'll just wait.
A lot of things suck about this, especially just considering the fact that the Union have come so close to winning this tournament on so many occasions.
They should have done it.
Come from a region seeped in Open Cup history, boasting Bethlehem Steel in their previous iteration, and may never get a chance to actually lift the trophy.
I'll take.
I think. in an alternate universe, Evan, I think if the Union ever had a world in which they played the South Georgia Tormenta, I think the way that Jakob Glesnes defended in the first half the other night, I think Jim Curtin just says, screw it, let me play the first half.
Good, very good. And then, it's the coaches get on to play as player coaches.
Yes.
Yeah, that would be, like, honestly,
I'm just going to put a kit back on and I'm going to play this game.
You know what? I like this. The next time the Union play in the Open Cup, if that ever happens, Jim Curtin would not care so hard about playing, like, the Northern Colorado Hailstorm that he would just be like, my coaching staff. We're just going to play.
Yeah.
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 I like that. In like pennies or something. I don't know.
Yeah. They don't even need kits. They just need to get on the field.
No. I mean, no. I know the referees wouldn't know who he is at that point. So, like, it's fine.
And to keep going to your outfitting, like, outfitting based on level team, like, if Jim Curtin's going to wear a hoodie this weekend, like, he doesn't even need to break out the new line of hoodies. Like, this needs to be like, hey, let's find the hoodie that's in the back of the clearance closet from 5 years ago.
He's literally hoodie, just going to wear his favorite hoodie from home.
Yeah. And then, like, for, like, DC United, you can break out the nicer hoodie.
Sure.
Like, but, like, yeah. Chicago, like, you wear the hoodie from the back of the closet.
Would it be fair to ask if he breaks out a, like, player issue Chicago Fire hoodie from when he played for them? is that the round he gets? He's like, remember when you guys were better at this? I was on the team. It was me and all of my friends, and we're better than you, and this is ridiculous. Why am I here?
Or he could go, like, full Charlie Manuel in some sense and, like, wear his Chicago Fire kit with his suit jacket over top of it.
And, like, the numbers and the letters are kind of jacked up because it's, like, 20 years old now. So, like, the screen printing is, like, faded and gross. And it's like, it's all right.
Yeah.
And somehow those kits look better than what Chicago had been wearing for the last, like, 5 years.
Yeah, no, for sure. For sure.
Thank God they're back in red. What an unnecessary change that was.
It's better than a lot of these jerseys that are coming out.
White t-shirts. If you play in Canada, you got a white t-shirt this year.
So ridiculous.
I don't care that it's your 50th anniversary. Put some color on that, please. God. Ugh.
So did, just out of curiosity, did everyone or anyone watch Miami last night?
No, I can't. You're not making me. No.
No, I have a very specific question. You'll see where I'm going with this. Did you, like,
hug Will Smith?
No. Thoughts on the replacement officials?
Oh, I don't have any yet. Is it
so? Yeah. So I have one just very, very specific complaint, because, like, honestly, like, there were some issues, but, like, let's be real. There's issues with officiating at every game. But they were so scared to call anything around the box. Like, literally, see, it felt like they were waiting for VAR to bail them out on calls, leading to Real Salt Lake not getting two free kicks within range of Miami's goal, like, from right outside the box, that couldn't be reviewed via VAR, because the only thing that can be reviewed in that scenario is if it should actually be a sending off, or if it was in the box and was a penalty. They clearly weren't penalties, clearly weren't sending off. Nothing happened.
Do you think, is there going to be a little bit of, like, if this goes on for a month, or a month and a half, or whatever, longer than, like, this week and the next one? Are we going to run into, these guys are just going to be like, shit, that's Lionel Messi and Luis Suarez, and I don't want to call anything against those guys.
Yes, that 100% will happen, especially when it's like some of these referees are from, like, literally, like, USL League 2, and, like, nothing against USL League 2, but it's just, like, very different than officiating Messi. Like, it is a lot harder to be an impartial judge of anything when you're officiating Messi on the field. Like, we already talked about last year, just the star effect of literally looking at him as a player that saw the Union get just carved up like a Thanksgiving turkey. Like, it's the same thing for kind of anyone experiencing that for the first time. And also, I think that this weekend specifically is about to be a shit show, because at least with the Miami game, it was like, okay, you just need to figure out getting like proper people for one game. And I can assure you that MLS made sure that they had the best crew possible out of these 66 new officials for that one game. But this weekend, it's just going to be a grab bag.
Yeah, I didn't watch the game, so I didn't see what happened. But the only clip that I saw from that game was Messi almost score a goal after chipping a guy who was on the ground.
Oh yeah, that was so dirty what he did to Andrew Brody. Like, I'm annoyed that like someone on Real Salt Lake didn't get up to cause a fight because of that.
Oh, 100%.
Like, if Jose Martinez sees someone do that to like a hurt Union player on the ground, you best believe he's getting a red card.
Yeah, and no, like, that's like a forearm, like, to the face. Like, you're not seeing either. And you're just like, oh, that's okay. A month after that, like, yeah.
Well, and speaking of the officials and red cards, I thought Martinez got saved from an immediate second yellow and a sending off by one of the Saprissa players running up into the referee's face last night as well. And I was like, man, Jose Martinez, you need to settle down. Because it's like he gets the yellow for the foul, which was fine. It is whatever. But then he like gets right up and he's barking at the referee. And then the Spreeze player like ran up to the ref, and the ref like immediately showed the yellow to the Spreeze player because you can't run up into the referee's face. But it was unfortunate. Like, I don't know, man. You've been in this league. Like, I don't want Jose Martinez to lose his fire, dude. But like, all right, cool. You've been in MLS for what, four years now?
But there,
like, get it together, dude.
There's those players that if you say take it down a couple of notches, they're just not good at what they do. And
right. It
just feels like he's one of those guys where
Yep. Everything
has to be on 15 and
Yes. There's
just no in between. Like, I mean, he literally was causing fights in preseason.
Yeah. And it's like you take the suspension every 10 games with the fact that he's also fairly effective on the field.
Well,
Playing soccer one, but getting under the opponent's skin the other.
And to your point, like, that's the guy that prevents Messi from chipping over an injured player mid-dribble. Like,
yes.
And not to say that RSL are spineless cowards who don't defend their players, but if it was Jose like, Martinez, I'm going to get Messi's jersey at the end of this game, or I have to deal with that guy who he just chipped over in the locker room for the next 5 days, I don't know. I would probably stick up for the guy that I'm like teammates with and not think about, like, yes, please, Messi, dribble over me. I don't know. It's very, like, please stop fangirling to this man. I don't care that he had to leave his dog in Barcelona last year. Thanks. It's fine. Was he playing Mad last year? Is that what that was? Is he now on Mad because everyone knows about his dog? I don't know. I feel like I'm going to say it, I don't care that you broke your elbow, kid, from many, many years ago.
I really like, yeah. And I mean, that's the thing about Martinez is like, if a guy does that to a Union player, like, Martinez is throwing that guy to the ground. And like, you know, it's hard to, whatever. But I didn't see what led up to the play, so I didn't see how the player ended up on the ground. But my question, you know, the question remains, like, are you officiating these games fair, or are you getting starstruck by Lionel Messi? and Luis Suarez and Sergio Busquets and Jordi Alba and whoever else is on that team now. And, you know, are you calling the game the way that it needs to be called, no matter who's on the field?
The good thing is, you don't have to worry about calling in favor of Stars against Chicago.
Yeah, it's true.
Like, if anything, actually, it would be William Carranza getting preferential treatment, which I'm okay with.
Maybe. I don't know.
And Carranza doesn't get preferential treatment. Carranza never has gotten preferential treatment in this league.
Well, I just mean,
he's the guy in this game.
In this game, Shakiri still exists, so.
Never mind. It depends what the last installation of FIFA these referees have played. Do they still think Jerdan Shaqiri, or Football Manager, or what have you, is Jerdan Shaqiri still the Jerdan Shaqiri of old? Or
that is a very good question. Because it's like, dude hasn't been good in a long time.
Is Andre Blake like a gold rare in Ultimate Team? You know, like, did he get a Team of the Week recently or something? Or are they going to know? They're going to be like, that's the guy I saw in the preview before I logged into Ultimate. I'm making these guys out to be nerds, which is like, fine. I don't care.
They have full-time jobs, and they're officiating MLS games after officiating games in college, MLS Next USL, Pro. Elsewhere. Sure. They're fucking nerds. I think that's right.
You're right. They all live in North Dakota, and they might ref your rec game this weekend. Good for you. You've done it.
Also, jeez, Blake is a gold common. Like,
losing money doing this.
Oh God, he's a gold common. It's not going to work. Yeah, it's got to be. It's got to be Carranza. Like, maybe has like a Team of the Week card circling around somewhere. I don't know. Justin's tapped into this more than I am, which is fine. But
I think Carranza is a silver rare. I think.
Yeah, man. I'm not sure. Is there like a flashback Jerdan Shaqiri, like World Cup nonsense? Like, there's got to be. I think he's.
No, they gave him. They gave him an end of the year card they gave him an end of the year card for MLS last year that was like a 94 rated or something. So he was kind of like
for doing what?
Nothing, for being a star name. That's what it was. They don't give the actual best players like. That's the thing. Like, I don't like.
If Carranza's not on the merit,
week, this coming week, I'm gonna be very disappointed.
Yeah, like, Jerdan Shaqiri wasn't even involved in 10 goals last year.
I mean, he was on the field for a lot of goals. Let's hold on, but he didn't. Not for his team.
You know what I mean.
I'm trying to defend him, okay? And it's not working. I get it.
I mean,
what you're trying to defend is FIFA, which is not
intact. Right. So,
yeah, you're right. And Justin, it doesn't matter if you meant the video game or the corporation, because both are true. So, we're sorry, EAFC. They're not paying me to do that, so I'm not going to. Do we have anything else? What else are we talking about?
I forget. Okay, like, listen, I forget Shaqiri's card. Shaqiri had an end of the year card. It was not a team of the year card. The team of the year was fair. It was Blake, Wagner, Glesnes, Almada,
Garussi,
Vela,
Mkhitaryan,
and Ferreira. So, like, that was fair. But there was some end of the year card that came out with, and I don't remember what it was, but there was some end of the year card that came out with. Anyway, and he was like, Shaqiri was like 94 rated. It was like, what? Why? Why is this guy? Why is this guy the way he is? Anyway, I'm with you.
Riveting non sequitur from all of us. Yeah, Chuck. What else do we have? Are we predictions?
Yeah, I mean, I guess like
is that one?
It's funny because we've talked about Jerdan Shaqiri for far too long on this podcast, so we have reached the point that it's like, okay, it's probably time to... We need to get back to
like the Philadelphia Union.
Yeah, but... for those wondering what just happened, After saying that, Justin disappeared from the recording.
No, we're good. He's back.
Yes, I don't see him back.
He's back.
Oh. But yeah, I mean, I guess we're on prediction. Should we do? Because was Supremacist Tuesday, so I assume we won't. Yeah, we're not gonna record before.
Yeah, do both of them.
I think. The funny thing is, I'm about to say the same prediction for both.
All right, that's fine. And
that's 2-1 Union.
Okay. And then I guess to add a wrinkle into the 2024 predictions, what is the Jim Curtin fit for both of those games?
Honestly, I think he's going to come out in hoodie for both. I'm gonna bank on home versus away right now.
Yep.
Until, like, I see something otherwise. I don't think that he's going to wear. Like, he's not gonna wear a suit to everything. Like, I don't think he's just capable of doing that. I mean, he definitely might just do Champions Cup suit, but I think it's more fun if he does something home or away, or just goes full petty and says, fuck you, Chicago, but then I'll dress up for Saprissa.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to buck the trend. I'm going to go Chicago. I think we're good 2-0. And I think Jim comes out in, like, kind of heavier winter wear just because it'll be cold. And I don't know what that looks like yet, but I think we're going to see some kind of, like, Adidas sort of team-made heavy jacket sort of situation.
I mean, that's fair if it is cold.
And then Saprissa, I think 3-0, and I think we have the return of, like, the suit, maybe an overcoat. But I think we get sort of a return to the this one's important, let me wear something nice kind of meet the parents, Jim Kirk.
Meet the parents. These analogies are like
and so now the good. $1 million question is, do we actually lose Justin or is he back? And I'm just looking at a blank screen.
I'm pretty sure we did lose him.
That's a bastard. That sucks. It was Jordan Shakir.
We made it through for the majority of
funny non sequitur while I try to figure that out. So on Tuesday, my car got broken into apparently overnight, and then I came back to just end the pod. All right, grand. Justin's gonna have to edit that. Very funny. Justin, what do we have to make up about Justin so that way we can end the podcast? Justin will put his score lines on the episode description when he drops it. He was busy trying to pack Jordan Shakiri and gift him to one of the referees so that we can win against Chicago.
So he says he's here.
I know, but we can't.
And he can see us.
That's weird. I don't love this. He's being replaced by different referees who are completely qualified. Don't worry about it. We just can't hear him. Oh, that's a nightmare. All right. Well, at the FTV pod, it would be the Twitter. Tell us that you don't like us talking about the other team players and how famous they are so that we stop doing it. Thank you so much. Okay. And then, you know, see if that ends itself.
That's it for another episode of Season 5 of Views from the Bridge. You can find us all over the internet, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at VFTBpod. Did you enjoy the show and want to show your support? There are two ways. You can head to DesignTree at dsgntree.com ko-fi.com/BFTB for our latest merch. Or buy us a beer at ko-fi.com/BFTBpod. Thanks for your listening and your support. Views from the Bridge is a podcast of the Beautiful Game Network. For Evan Villela, Chuck Booth, and Paul Catrino, I'm Justin Ashcraft, signing off.